Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. You guys are already doing better than last service. Last service, I forgot my microphone when I got up here to preach, which doesn't work super great. So anyway, the tech team had to bail me out on that. So anyway, so we're already ahead of that curve. Anyway, it's good to see you guys. We are in a series called Rhythms of Renewal, where we're talking about things that God has given us in our lives that we can incorporate into our lives to more fully experience life to the full, life in the way we were meant to live it, maybe especially around addressing issues like depression and anxiety and feeling overwhelmed and feeling isolated and things that either you are dealing with on some level or someone you love is. Now, we've been talking about these different rhythms, and I think it's worth pointing out that each one of them comes out of reflecting some aspect of God's character. That all of these are pulled out of, this is a part of who God is, and so we can incorporate that into our life and experience life more the way he would want us to. Like, for example, the first week we talked about serving, and Ron talked about how God sees himself as a servant. Especially, we see that most clearly in Jesus, where he humbles himself all the way to the cross, clearly even with his disciples, lowering himself to wash their feet. Or we talked about the week after that, we take care of our bodies, and that God, that comes from an aspect of God's character, that the body is something that he cares about and honors, that he created, that he took on a body when he came in Jesus, that he let his body be broken for us, and that is where we live out our mission, in our bodies, and that God sends us into the world, and so that we take care of that to experience life to the full. Last week, Ron talked about rest, and I think it's interesting that it's worth remembering that rest comes from God's character. He creates, and he creates, and he creates, and then he rests. Sabbath is what Scripture calls that set-aside time, and it is the first thing in Scripture to be called holy. The first thing called holy in Scripture is rest and delight, taking a break and putting your feet up and just enjoying the good world that God has given us. And this week, I want to look at something that also flows out of God's character, who God is. And a lot of times, it's a good place to start. Is the beginning, if you want to kind of see how a story works or how a belief system works. And in Genesis chapter 1, what we have going on is a poem, probably a song, because there's a chorus in it in the book of in the language of Hebrew, and it has this this Hebrew version of rhyme called seconding going through this poem. Maybe it was a song. And what's been going on is that God is creating, and he says it's good, and he's creating, and it's good, and he's creating, and it's good. And picking up in verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. Can you pick up the rhythm of the poem there? And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Did you pick up something funky with the grammar there? Our, yes. Yeah, now maybe you've been around church a while and you've heard this before, but it's interesting that God, singular, expresses God's self in let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And right there in the first chapter of Genesis, we have these hints and these shadows of something that Christians have always believed, that God is community. That in the person of God, or what makes up God, however that works, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is one and three, that God exists connecting to, exchanging glory and love, giving and receiving holy love inside of the Trinity, that God does not exist as an individual, God exists as a holy community. And when he expresses that God is going to make us in his image, it is the first time that we hear these expressions of our and we and us. And so as we are created, we are not created to exist alone. Interestingly enough, when as the story progresses, God creates a perfect world, free of brokenness, free of wounding and sin, free of illness. He creates a perfect person whose body is whole, whose soul is not fractured, in a perfect relationship with God Almighty. And check this out, chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is, say these two words with me, not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Is it enough for you to have a perfect relationship with God? No. No, people are like, oh, this is church. This feels like the wrong answer. No. No, having a perfect, unbroken, sinless, completely free relationship with God is not enough if we believe God. The first thing that is not good, it is good, it is good, it is good, creation is good, 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 good. And the first thing that is not good is that a person is alone. And God created us for community, to be with each other, not just whole in of ourselves, not just in a perfect world, not just in perfect relationship with God Almighty. We are meant to be in relationship with one another. And so this week I want to talk about connection, to connect with each other. And you may be thinking, Brett, I thought this was about lowering anxiety. The reason why I have anxiety is I am connected to some people. Someone over here experienced that recently, I'm betting. Like, the reason why I have trouble in my family or at work or in my relationships or in my friend group is because of the people. And so why is this something that is going to help me live life to the full? It feels like a stressor most of the time. I think it's worth noting that starting in Genesis 3 with the fall, what happens is a fracturing of human relationship. When God is talking about the curse, this is the result of your sin, he says to the woman, your desire will be for the man and he will rule over you. A result of our sin is that we were meant to be in partnership with each other, in connection with each other. But as a result of sin, we are put in hierarchy, in competition with one another. And that God is on a mission to restore the world as it is through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we are supposed to help live out the reality that we are not over one another, we are not in competition with one another, that we are in partnership on level ground before God Almighty with one another, and that way we can connect with and love each other deeply. Now, it's worth saying that the church has always struggled with this. I think I've said before that in Acts chapter 2, we have this beautiful picture of the church. You may have heard this. They met in their homes and they broke bread and they shared fellowship. They sold their possessions and they gave to everyone who had need, and they met in the temple courts, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it's this amazing picture until you get to chapter 4 where everyone starts complaining. And it's a result, even in the early church, we see the results of sin. And that community's hard. It's a challenge. Most of the letters in the New Testament, not all, but close, are written to communities that are having trouble connecting with one another well. That's the reason why most of them were written. Most of the time, either the Apostle Paul or Peter or John or whoever was writing, I can think of one instance where he's just so happy with these folks, he wrote them a letter to say, good job, guys. And includes some stuff about Jesus. Most of the time, there's a problem in the community. And he says, okay, we got to talk about this. And so I want to spend our time today in the book of Galatians. We're going to read every verse, a chunk at a time, from chapter 5, verse 13, through the beginning of chapter 6, verse 2. And we're just going to kind of work through this. The church in Galatia was struggling with their community, with their connection. There was ethnic and racial tension. There was disagreement about laws. There were people who were breaking up into groups saying, this group's wrong, my group's right, you need to leave or we're going to leave, and how dumb are they, because their society was nothing like ours. And that was a joke. That, have you been on social media? I mean, this is like the world, you know? And they're really struggling. And Paul writes into that context, in verse 13 of chapter 5. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So he says here, freedom for the Christian is not to do what we want for ourselves. My rights are not about me. They're about how can I serve my neighbor in love. That's why God has given us freedom. So it is improper and wrong for the person in the new family of Jesus to think about what my rights can do for me. It's all about how can I love my neighbor, right? He says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other." He is not worried about the church being destroyed from outside oppression. He is worried about division inside it. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. Now, this is interesting. So he sets up a dichotomy between living out of the flesh and living out of the Spirit. The flesh, the Greek word there is sarx. Can you say sarx? Sarx, thank you. Sarx literally is like the meat on your bones. It's the stuff that you can grab and move around a little bit on your body. But it is used throughout the New Testament to talk about, I would sum it up this way, as the desiring I. It is the part of you, the part of me that wants, that has impulse and desire. I want something. And it's often a selfish impulse, sometimes rooted in maybe like our more base instincts. And that is often what drives us. And Paul says, if we give that just our desires, the keys to the car, we are going to wreck our community. And it is going to pull us apart and isolate us. But if we listen to the Spirit, it is going to help us walk in this thing where we get to obey the command to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, obviously, Paul is quoting Jesus, who said this. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest command? He quotes Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he quotes Leviticus, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. As you might imagine, this is picked up quite a few places in the New Testament, like Romans 13. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder or steal or covet, and whatever command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Or James, Jesus's brother, writes this short, pretty intense little book, very straightforward, very abrupt, not hard to figure out, what did James mean by that? He's just one of those guys that kind of just goes for it. And in chapter 2, he says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. You're doing right. Paul says in another place, the only thing that counts, that's worth paying attention to, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And so to love our neighbor as ourselves is only possible if we're going to connect with one another, make space for each other in our lives. Now, Paul says, obviously, this can go wrong easily, but I've been grateful in my life to have deep connection with a lot of meaningful friendships. Two weeks ago when I was preaching about taking care of your body, I said, you're going to watch 30 minutes of open hypocrisy while I preach about this. But I've been glad in my life. I mean, I've had some really rich friendships, even like at Shipyard this weekend. I noticed there was music going on. That was great. We were standing around having real conversations with folks about their families. One of our friends opened up and even came to tears in the middle of everything that's going on there about some things that are going on with her kids. And we got to honor that moment with her and what God was doing right in the middle of the fray. My kids were running around with their buddies living their best life with like face paint, and someone brought puppies that you can adopt. That's a ploy. You know, and I mean, like, we just had a great time, and it was so sweet to spend time with people. Last week, I got a text from one of my best friends with a picture from his wedding. He said, "This came up on my feed. I just wanted to send it to you. I love you." And I'm hugging my buddy Jeff, who just got married, and my other best friend Trevor is there on the side. You can tell Trevor is taking care of himself well, because otherwise he would be so hairy he could braid his eyebrows. But and that's his wife Leah, and those guys mean the world to me. A few months ago, I got the call from my seminary. They said, "Hey, we'd like you to come preach. We'd like you to come preach at our seminary chapel," which was a surprise to me. Because I'm the guy who released a live possum in the girl's dorm and retaliation. You know, there was a few things that went on. And they're like, "Oh, I guess they didn't check my file." And my buddies who were my roommates found out. And they said, "Well, we're coming. We're coming." And my friend Jason, I picked him up in Nashville. And Dave in Silverio Sanchez. I bet you can't guess which one he is, Silverio Sanchez. The rest of us are clearly from places that were cloudier. Silver, he flew in from Houston, and we picked him up at the airport and road trip together, and I got to have a cheering section at Seminary Chapel, which is normally not something they have in seminary chapels. I have benefited from deep, loving, beautiful friendships in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. But I realized that for a lot of us, these carry real wounds and real challenges. Paul, as he goes on in Galatians, he says, he talks about how it can go badly. "If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, but the acts of the flesh are obvious." So when we give our desires the keys to the car, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so some of these are not things that we are struggling with in our culture. If you said what the problem was in your small group is all of the witchcraft and orgies, I'm going to have questions. You know, and what book of the Bible were we going through? And that kind of thing. But in Roman culture, those were actual issues. Now, in our world, though, some of these very much apply. We talked about dissension and factions, that when we let our selfish desires drive, we have the tendency to separate from each other and to label that other group of people as crazy, stupid, or evil. To take like this hard, unlistening stance on whatever issue might come up. Impurity, that we can excuse allowing things to come out of our mouths or into our minds that are simply impure. Fits of rage, that we can let anger take over in what we say or how we treat other people. Envy, that we would sit around and want what other people have and think that that's going to make us whole. Drunkenness, that we would think that being intoxicated is okay for people who follow Jesus, and it's not. And Paul says, and I quote, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that happens sometimes in churches. We give that license. But then he presents this alternate list that maybe you're familiar with. But the fruit of the Spirit, so remember when we love our neighbor as ourselves, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Anybody could use a little more of those things? Yeah. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. That fruit of the Spirit passage, I learned in vacation Bible school as a kid, and there was a song. Anybody else learned the song? The yes, yeah, yeah. Okay, so yours might be a little different than, so mine was you ask people for a fruit. Can you tell me name a fruit?
Coconut.
Oh, that's a good one. Three syllables. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. Am I the only one that knows this one? Okay. We got Aubrey over here. She's got it. And and listen, what I didn't learn was that the fruit of the Spirit is only makes sense in being expressed in community. That this is a passage about a community learning to heal, that love needs an object. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I am supposed to love you. Joy, I am supposed to enjoy you. Patience, I am supposed to be patient with you. These are things that we're supposed to express in community with one another, and that's what happens when we love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, there's a few things that often are a little missing. I don't know if it's in our society or culture or if other times were better or worse. This is the only society and culture I've done, you know. But I wanted to talk about four things that I think are key ingredients to foster that kind of relationship. Blaine's going to come give me a hand. Partially because I don't think we have a lot of great models on how to love our neighbor as ourself. Anybody else's Twitter and TikTok feed just totally full of love your neighbor as yourself, right? I mean, like, this is not how we tend to live, and we need some good models. So the first thing that I would say that we need if we're going to love our neighbor as ourself is we need time. It takes time. There's no way to do this that doesn't involve making time for each other, which means that we slow down. And so if we're going to spend time together, there's a couple ways we could do that. We could have what I call face-to-face time, right? Which is, hey, Blaine, let's go hang out. I want to sit down and talk with you specifically. Usually there's warm caffeine involved in my life. Because who's going to put up with Blaine without warm caffeine?
Wow. And I'm right here.
I see you at Red Banner on a regular basis. So maybe that's a place that we can sit down and connect with each other. But I find that also just as valuable isn't just face-to-face time. Maybe this isn't your thing. Maybe it's more what I would call like shoulder-to-shoulder time, where we're doing something together. And in that context, we can connect with one another. So what, fishing?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Running?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay, that's not gonna be me though. I don't run. You would have to tow me behind you.
Disc golf?
Disc golf.
See.
I could fake disc golf. Okay, all right. So Blaine and I can connect over disc golf or cooking. No, repairing a back deck.
Gosh, no.
Okay, all right. Okay, so there's different things that we can do. We could, whatever your thing is, you can work on a car, you can quilt. I don't care.
Watch movies.
What's that?
Movies.
Movies. Harry Potter marathon.
Come on.
Okay, all right. And we can spend time connecting together, shoulder to shoulder, with the same thing. And in that context, we can connect with each other and have meaningful conversation. Sometimes I've noticed that people say like, oh my gosh, my kid just won't talk to me, which is real potentially, but sometimes it's as simple as take them on a walk. Mm-hmm. Take them on a walk or throw the football or whatever it is. And in that context, sometimes we can break that sort of thing. So time. We need to spend time face-to-face, shoulder-to-shoulder. Also, it's not just about our time. It's also about being present to each other. It takes being present and giving each other our attention. So we...
Daisy, come on, man.
All right, there we go. And put away your phone, though.
I will, though.
We can't be present to one another when we're on our devices the whole time. Can I get an amen? And I don't even notice I do it. I was just at Starbucks picking up a cold brew in between services, which is always a little risky. And the room is full of people waiting on their drink order while like 17 baristas are working furiously, you know, like slinging coffee. And everybody is on their phone, right? And so that we'd be present to each other and that we'd listen. We have to listen to one another, which... I think comes from the art of asking good questions. And how long has it been since someone asked you a really good question about your life? So we could ask, what's the best thing about being you right now?
Being with you.
Being, aww. Okay, what else? Something you're not paid to say.
Yeah. being a parent, four amazing kids.
Yeah.
And watching them grow and those interactions. Izzy just got baptized a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's 13. And so that was an awesome moment. And then also another moment, I have a 7-year-old too, who keeps life exciting. And so my brother's sitting next to him at the baptism. Baptism was a little dicey with the water and all, but hey, yeah. We made it.
It was, there was a lot of life in the water. I'm not talking about the baptism, I'm talking about the fungus,
yes.
Like the fungi. Was anybody else there and thinking they're getting in that?
Yeah.
And there you go.
And so my brother's sitting next to Matthew, again, 7, and goes, you know.
Algae, not fungus, yeah. Sorry.
Certif? Okay.
Okay.
science. And so Derek asks my son, he's like, hey, you know, in a few years, you're going to be out there getting baptized. Matthew looks up and goes, I love Jesus, but I'm not doing that. So sweet moments like that, you know. So we have some discipleship to do in the house. But, man, we're so close.
Yeah. If you noticed, there were people out there with rakes raking the algae out of the water where we were going to go. Anyway, so listening to one another is a part of it. Also, I think being present to one another physically is important, not just off of our tech. But we need to learn how to have healthy, normal touch. Are you a hugger?
Yeah, raised in a family of huggers. My mom will hug everybody. But I'm not big on like massage. Like people come up behind me and want to give me a massage. Stop touching me.
That's right. Sorry. And so I know that obviously touch can be full of harm. People sometimes are just bad at social cues. There's all kinds of ways that can be weird. But there is supposed to be healthy. We're supposed to connect with one another. I think at some healthy level if we can do that in an appropriate way. 5 times in the New Testament. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah, the Apostle Peter says the kiss of love. No one has kissed me this morning except my wife. Not you.
Yeah.
And listen. And I know that was culturally expressed, you know, through the, you know, if we're in a Latin culture or French culture, you know, that looks different. You know, if you're German, you wave, and that's the same as it. But, that was my attempt at a joke. I'm sorry. But we're supposed to have some connection with one another in a way that's meaningful to say that I'm here with you, I see you, I care about you. I'm sometimes concerned that there's people in our society that don't get healthy touch. Don't get healthy touch, and that can be a good thing. So here, you grab a seat, and thank you. The other 2 things I don't need Blaine to talk about. So we'll keep going. I think it also takes openness. It's not just time and presence. It takes openness with each other. In Galatians, as Paul continues, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live in the Spirit should restore that person gently. That means that a part of our normal conversation and interaction as a Christian community and connecting with one another is that we're able to talk about the sin that we struggle with and that we're gentle with one another, that we restore each other, that we care for each other. Now that may be a stretch for most of us, but I'm glad I have people in my life that on a regular basis we talk about what sin I'm struggling with and they can help me, pray for me, care for me. That should be a part of Christian community. He says, but watch yourselves or you may be tempted. So there's always the danger that we could get sucked down into whatever that is, but we're to pull each other out of those things. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. That a part of normal, healthy Christian community and connection is that we have friends that know what we're carrying that's heavy. And that we can help them carry what they've got. They can help us carry what we've got. Now, of course, there's appropriateness and boundaries in place. 2 verses later, Paul says, each person should carry their own load. Same Greek word. Carry each other's burdens, carry your own load. Like, what's that about? I think the difference is that, you know, you've ever been around the person that's just like the whether you asked for it or not emotional vomiter? That just shows up in the room and goes, here's my stuff. And you're like, thanks for that. This isn't about dumping our things on other people, but this is about being open. About being open. And letting people in to the struggles that we have, the things that are hard and heavy. They do the same with us. And we love each other by helping them carry those things emotionally, financially, physically, whatever it is. We make space for each other in our lives. And then last, this isn't going to work without forgiveness. It takes forgiveness, which is tough. I remember when I went to college, it was my first major dive into trying to live out Christian community. And we were all, you know, like 20 years old, and we were very excited about following Jesus. We just weren't very good at life yet, you know. And we wounded each other a lot. And I think one of the things that I learned is I have to learn how to forgive people and be up for forgiving again. Now, of course, forgiveness and trust aren't the same thing. Trust has to be earned. We need to stay away from, you know, dangerous people and all that kind of thing. It's important. But what surprised me even more is that I learned that if I am in community, if I'm connected to someone, I am going to need forgiveness from them on a regular basis. You are going to be the person that hurts people. But that's a part of life. Have grace with yourself and ask for forgiveness, and we can be restored to one another. You know, a few small ways as a church that I think we can take steps into this. This isn't silver bullet, but maybe some places to start is we have small groups that where there are places where people study the word together and where they hopefully get to know one another and build relationships. And we also have a course called EHR, or Emotionally Healthy Relationships. The staff just finished going through this together, where we learn how to have better, more mature, enriching relationships with one another in the name of Jesus. If you're interested in those, you can email Kim. And there's a men's ministry starting up. I think Blaine mentioned it earlier, called Quest. And they're going to meet on Sunday mornings and take a deep dive into following Jesus as a man. You can email Tom or find that on the website. We'd love for you to get connected in that way. But I want to wrap up with this. As you reflect on your life, how are you doing right now in terms of making time for others? And I don't just mean the person you're married to or the people you're tightly related to, but Christian community. How are you doing with making time for others? Being present to others. Being open. How are you doing with forgiveness? And just as a word of grace, I have seen in the last two, that I think people are struggling with the fatigue right now that is often pretty intense. And it takes energy to re-up into community. And it's hard to take that first step and to get moving. I know that. So we'll give ourselves some grace. But as I read the words of Jesus to close, I just want you to consider how you can live like Jesus wants us to, like he does, with one another. So maybe if you want to, close your eyes or follow along on the screens, but this is Jesus in John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Let's pray. Jesus, we're grateful that you loved us the way you have. And help us to love one another in that same manner. And as we come to your table today, open our hearts to your presence with us. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.